Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Health Centering on the Radio. Very happy to have a doctor with us in the studio here today recording the program. Shailendra Misra is here. Doctor, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Well, thanks for coming by. Let's talk a little bit about your practice at FCHC. And primarily, we're going to talk about vaccines to get started here. Okay. What's the schedule? What are you recommending for vaccinations right now?
Well, the vaccination schedule stays the same in a pediatrician's mind, which is what is already there since the past, which included like diphtheria pertussis, it included pneumococcal, hemoflenza, influenza B, MMR, varicella, HPV, meningitis. So like, there's a whole slew that's always there. But just in 2026 now, the government has decided to reduce the vaccines from 18 to down to 11. So what they basically said was, well, you don't need hepatitis A, hepatitis B, meningitis A and B, rotavirus, RSV, flu, and COVID. These were the vaccines that they decided that we don't need to really, right?
Okay.
Which the American Academy of Pediatrics and American Medical Association disagrees with, but have to comply with. Now, the benefit is that they tell you, please talk to your doctor. So when they come and talk to me, I will tell them the standard vaccination stays the same, but I end up explaining to the families what the reasoning behind the changes may be. So like hepatitis A and hepatitis B, now they say, well, you don't, it's not part of the mandated schedule. The reason why is because they say, well, hepatitis B, you have to have exposure. Hepatitis A, you have to have exposure, right? So hepatitis B is bloodborne. So if mom has hepatitis B or somebody around the baby has hepatitis B, then you would give hepatitis B vaccine. If you had hepatitis A, which is a foodborne issue, a lot of times it's in third world countries where you go and you get hepatitis A as a possibility through food. So if you're not traveling anywhere, then why would you need hepatitis A? That's their rationale. We still give it because it's a possibility, okay?
Sure.
So, and I can keep going if you want. I can give you statistics on it. But
sure. I'd like to ask you just a couple of questions,
yeah,
staying inside the vaccination. Yeah. So you talk with a lot of parents, and I'm sure you hear different points of view from different folks. We want to, we don't want to. But I have to imagine, doctor, there are people who come and say, what do you think we should do?
Correct. Correct. That's where the issue is, because this information is out there now, right? So you have a certain subset of population that doesn't even want to vaccinate. And I keep that as a separate bucket, right? People who you will never convince that you need to get the vaccination because they have their mind made up. That's one bucket. Then there's the bucket of people now new that are saying, well, the government's telling us we don't need these vaccines. So then that's where my discussion comes into play with them and says, I still keep the recommendations as they were prior to 2026, which is the standard schedule, right?
Yeah.
But I spend time explaining the changes and why they're there. Because the more the patients understand, the better it is for them to accept what to do.
Sure.
So majority of my families will say, okay, we'll stick to the same schedule, right?
Yeah.
But there have been now a few cases where, you know, people will not get the hepatitis B vaccine at birth.
Okay.
Did they just say, we want to wait and delay?
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Right. One of the things I'm sure that you can speak to our listeners, is the fact that this is an emotional topic with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And you see people really dug in and fortified in their position of yes or no.
Correct.
You see both ends of the spectrum.
I see both ends. I treat both ends. Yeah. If you're not vaccinated, that doesn't mean I'm not going to take care of your child, right?
Sure.
Ethically, I'm going to take care of your child. It's just that I have to be cognizant of the fact that you don't vaccinate.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where we give the information as much as we can. The information is given to the parents so that they can make an informed decision for their child. Okay? So every parent should be informed, and they should make their judgment from their own thought process. We are supposed to be what I call pediatrics, or any physician, we're advisors. we advise you what to do.
Yeah.
You decide to choose our advice or not. That's still up to you. It's ultimately your child.
So, doctor, let's talk about those folks who may say to you, doctor, what do you recommend? Do you find after you make a recommendation that a larger percentage of people go with your advice or decide, you know, we're just not going to?
I actually, of about all the families that I have that have said, I don't want to vaccinate, after they listen to me, I can convert about 80% of them to follow my direction.
Sure.
There will be 20% that will just say, nope, I'm still not doing it. And I say, okay.
Yeah, right. And you respect that.
I respect it. Absolutely.
Sure. But I like the fact that you said you're an advisor.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah. As far as risk versus reward is concerned, I think that's really where this lies with a lot of people, doctor, is that people say, well, the risks are great. I'm not sure about the reward. What would you say to that?
Well, the reward is prevention of the illness in your child, one. Number two, prevention of hospitalization, two. And also, ultimately, prevention of death.
Mm.
That's the most critical thing. Now, the thing is that we have millions and millions and millions of kids in the country, billions in the world.
Right.
Right? When you look at the amount of death created by this, like I have just between 1994 and 2023, 1,129,000 deaths in the United States from these vaccine-preventable diseases. Right? So for somebody who's thinking about it, well, there's millions of kids, only a million died, what's a big deal, right? Well, to me, every life is a big deal. So the risk of death is so severe to me that I can't even lose one patient, right? But for somebody thinking on the other side, says, well, I'm not going to vaccinate because the risks in my mind are autism or other illnesses, right? And I say, well, those are not validated because every one of those myths has been debunked. But, you know, there's articles out there saying pros and cons. So what do you do?
And you follow the science very closely.
I follow the science. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's made you a believer in this as far as risk versus reward is concerned.
Yes, because I trained in a country where there weren't vaccines readily available. I used to actually ride on my motorcycle with a backpack of vaccines and go to the slums in India, right?
Wow.
Giving vaccines to people who couldn't afford them or couldn't even get to the means to get to a place to get them. So when I've seen these illnesses in real life, I'm a big believer in vaccines because of that fact.
Your perspective is a lot different.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of doctors who are graduating from medical school today or residency, right?
Yeah.
They might say, I've never seen measles.
Yeah.
I've never seen rubella. So what do you do? It's textbook for a lot of doctors, right? I actually have the ability to say I've had real life experience with it. So when I convince my families that, you know, you should vaccinate, I'm giving them a perspective based on experience.
Sure you are.
Whereas other people would say, well, I read about these diseases, you should get it because.
Yeah, right. Just to be clear, you probably deal with this on a daily basis with parents.
Absolutely. Every single day.
Every day of the week.
Every single day of the week.
You get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, first of all, I really appreciate you having you here in the studio. This is great. I know you're very busy. I want to ask a couple of other questions.
Sure.
Because we don't get doctors in the studio very often. When we do, it's a real treat. So let's talk about current health issues. We're now into the spring season. How would you assess the winter season with regard to flu, RSV, and some of these nasty viruses that we had?
We had quite a few, quite a bit of influenza this past winter season. This winter season was more classic than previous. Regularly, influenza, RSV, they're December, January, February diseases, right?
Okay.
In the past, sometimes we'd see them back in October or September. This year, we didn't get that. We got the classic flu season in flu season, right? We had RSV in RSV season, but it was heavy. Every week, it was like 4 to 5 cases.
Really?
That I was diagnosing, yeah. And when you look at influenza A and influenza B, a lot of times you see influenza A more than influenza B frequency-wise, right? This year, I was seeing equal. If I saw one influenza A, turn around, two patients later, there's an influenza B.
Is that strange for you?
No, it's not strange, but it's just that the way that the distribution that I have seen in the past, today, this distribution this year was equal, equal opportunity.
Wow.
Yeah.
So here we are in the month of April now, and the spring season is upon us here. What are you seeing now?
Okay, so I based this on my previous ER experience. We used to see these in sequences. So, you know, December, January, February, we're all flu. March, April, as March ends, April starts, then you start seeing people having vomiting and diarrhea. So you get the stomach bug. And, you know, coming around April, May, you're going to start seeing softball and baseball starting. So you get injuries more.
Okay.
Track has started, so there's injuries happening.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Just a couple of other questions. Are you taking new patients right now?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you I never say no.
You treat patients from what age to what age?
From birth all the way up to 21.
I see.
Is what I would be. That's what I'm really trained to take care of.
Okay. As far as new viruses or concerns that people ought to be looking for?
Well, there isn't any new viruses that I know of on the horizon. You know, we just usually we have our, you know, trends. So right now, the stomach bug might be there. There might be a couple of cases of strep.
Okay.
A couple of cases of croup. Allergy season is just starting out right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of times right now, if you have a cough, runny nose, it may not be an infection. It may just be your seasonal allergies kicking in.
Let me drill down a little more on the vaccinations about flu shots.
Yes.
For kids. What do you recommend?
Flu shots are from 6 months and above. The first time that you get the flu shot in a child, it's two shots, well, 1 month apart. And then after that, it's one per year, one shot. And it's there, it's available. Each year it varies in terms of how efficient the vaccine is in taking care of the illness. This year, unfortunately, we had a little situation where influenza A, H3N2, which is a subset, actually mutated. After the vaccine was made and distributed, the virus mutated. So we had this subgroup or subset K, right? So this new virus was, even though H3N2 is in influenza A vaccine, this subset was not. So the majority of the influenza A's we were getting most probably were this. In all those vaccinated children, they're getting this mutated form. So this year, when the results eventually come out, will show that maybe the vaccine this year wasn't as great as it was in previous years.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, do you see that very often, doctor, where it mutates like that?
Every, not very often, but I'd say every, from past experience, every like 3 to 5 years, there's one that mutates. And then you have a couple of good years where the vaccine is covering everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get one.
But to be clear, for folks who get the vaccine, at the very least, it can lessen the severity.
Absolutely. So the vaccine still is recommended. It's not that we don't recommend it. You still get it because it still covers quite a bit of different types of flus, right? But the thing is that we recommend the vaccine because two things happen with the vaccine. Number one, it decreases the severity of the illness. Number two, it decreases the duration of the illness.
And so, if you've ever had the flu, duration is a big deal.
Duration is a big deal.
And severity, too.
Because it's not only for the child who's suffering for 10 days or 12 days. Imagine the economic problems with the parents who have to take time off work.
Yeah, good word.
And, you know, so there's just not only just the illness itself, but there's all the other surrounding stuff. Like parents have to take off work. They have to make a separate babysitter because the babysitter won't take their children.
Yeah.
Right? So the duration does matter, and severity, of course, you know, increase in hospitalizations. If they're too severe, they get dehydrated.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Our guest, Dr. Shailendra Misra of FCHC Pediatrics. Will you come back and do this again, please?
Absolutely. I'll do it anytime.
You love what you do, don't you?
I love what I do.
I can tell.
It's my life.
Doctor, a genuine pleasure having you in the studio. Right. Thank you for giving us some of your time, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
This is Health Center on the Radio, brought to you by Fulton County Health Center. They're on the web at fultoncountyhealthcenter.org.